Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Tuesday edition of the Roundtable and the panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you all assembled and doing whatever you're doing in the world and trying to, you know, figure things out and are tuning in to hear our take on what's going on. And your take as well. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. We've missed you over the last 23 hours, so we're glad to have you back. Let me introduce everybody, and then we will get started here. It's, you know, we want to make the most of our time. Well, J.P. Miller is here. He is the man behind the Empire Report. We're always happy when he can be with us. Good morning, J.P. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you, Joe?
We're all well. I think we're fine. I can't speak for the whole group, but we'll see. We'll see. Rosemary Armeo, how are you this morning?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. Investigative journalist and UAlbany adjunct professor Rosemary Armeo. Mike Spain is on the phone, former Times Union associate editor. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I'm doing well, and it's easy to do well when the sky is blue and the sun is out, and that really helps, as opposed to yesterday.
Yeah. Just you feel like you're all well. You feel like you're under house arrest, don't you?
Yes, well, we are, but yes.
Yeah, but you really feel it then. And last but certainly not least, WAMC's Alan Shartak. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
And good morning, my friend. Good morning, Joe. And thanks for everything you're doing for all of us. I appreciate it so much. Hey, Joe, I did want to talk for a moment about a serious situation. It's both good news and bad news. The bad news is this year, because the last fund drive, we were doing quite well at this point. We had raised $391,000 towards the lockbox. We almost didn't need a fund drive. But, of course, we're going to have a fund drive. This time, we may not be able to. I don't know. We're going to try our best to have one, but you never know. The point is that we are now up to $175,000. Now, last time we understood it was that, you know, people were putting in because there was tax money involved and it was a good time to do it. This time we're dying. We really need it. We have $175,000, and that's all the bad news compared to $391,000. Now, I always tell the truth. I want to tell the truth, but the problem for us right now is this. We are behind. The good news is yesterday we made a lot of money. We came to you all and we said, hey, if we want to keep this thing going, if everybody just puts a little in, we'll be fine. Put something in at WAMC.org. And we said, you got to go to WAMC.org or you got to put it in an envelope and go to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. Right, Joe? 12206.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you put it in an envelope, we'll get it that way. We can open the envelope. Or if you go to WAMC.org and do it that way, we'll get it that way. What you can't do this morning is call because we have no staff there to answer the phones. So please, everybody, help us get at least even with where we were last year, and that leaves we need $175,000. Today's total, we have $215,975. We need $175,000 to make up, and we got to do it right away. We could do it. We've done it many times during the regular fund drive. We've made $100,000 many days. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking everybody to do something to keep this radio station, which keeps you in the loop, today. Go to WAMC.org. I'm asking you, and I know you'll do it, because really there are people in this world who like to share, and we're not saying break yourself, but do anything you can to help. Okay, Joanne, thank you for giving me the opportunity to say that. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to ask you another question, though, because a couple of people have asked, and I think it's just give us a sense of where we are financially and the money that we need of why this is so necessary.
Well, let me put it this way. The Linda Norris Auditorium is not having anybody, nor are any other major places. I'm not saying that we're special, but that's a place, a studio where we do production. It's another studio, like Studio A, B, C, but it is. It's a very important part of WAMC. It's a community asset. We know that. We're going to lose several hundred thousand dollars on that. Not only that, because the underwriting program is so important to us, you know, you realize we make as much from the underwriting program as we do, the same amount as we do in the three fund drives. That is taking a real hit. So the only way, Joe, we can make this now is if we make it up, because of the 500,000 regular listeners to WAMC every month, everybody will do something. Well, not me. I'm not going to do it. Well, if that's the case, we won't make it. But if everybody decides, okay, I'll do my share and then let everybody else worry about their share, that's the only way to do it now. Does that begin to answer your question, Joe?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So people can find out. There's the easiest way to do this, of course, is online, as Alan mentioned, because there is nobody here. And
We're
here, but
Ian's there.
We're busy. We're busy. Yeah, it's Mike, Ian, myself, and Ray's here. So, we need you to don't call. We need you to do it online today. We'll work on it where we have phones. That's good. But right now, we need you to do it online. WAMC.org. Or, of course, you can also just put a check and an envelope and send it to us. 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. And as mentioned, this is also on the we do have this on the on our website too. So if you want to find the address and you can't find it readily, it is right on the website as well. So
it's so important. We made over $30,000 yesterday, Joe. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, we were at.
If we could do that again this morning, it would be great. We want to tell everybody how we're doing. Is there any way to keep up?
I've got it right in front of me.
Oh, that's great.
I got a calculator. I've got a tracker. I have my toes and my fingers. I think with all of those things, I should be able to keep track. In fact, we've already made $500. So isn't that great? So there you go. So we're at 216, 334. We'll keep going.
And I know how important this radio station is to so many people. I've never seen so many letters of appreciation as we've been getting, one after another after another. It's really phenomenal.
All right, let's get started. We have a wonderful panel. We have a lot to talk about. We'll get going, and we will bring you up to date on the fund drive and on the lockbox as well. But here we go. So governors across the U.S. are moving ahead with plans to reopen their states, and President Trump resumed his daily coronavirus briefings on Monday with a vow to double the number of tests after previously saying that testing levels were fully sufficient to begin opening the country. So, and remember all those executives that came out a month ago? Well, he had them back yesterday telling that they were going to do the things that they said they were going to do a month ago. So that's good. Also, New York yesterday became the first state to cancel its Democratic presidential primary, which had been scheduled for June 23rd. Officials called it essentially a beauty contest that the state could not afford during the pandemic, a decision that was criticized by the campaign of Senator Bernie Sanders and his progressive supporters. So why don't we begin there, Alan?
Well, I want to defer to Rosemary on this one, because Rosemary is our Bernie Sanders expert. And I'd like to, because obviously, Rosemary, we have a problem here. If the Bernieites don't vote for Biden, then you take it from there.
I think you're deferring to me because I'm the one willing to say the most anti-Bernie thing, and I'll say it today. I think it's incredibly selfish. Of course he isn't going to win. What would be the point of it? People would have to risk their lives to do it. To do what? To say we want Biden, not Bernie. We saw what happened in Wisconsin. It was an extremely moving piece this week in the New York Times, written by the liberal judge who unexpectedly won in the Wisconsin contest for Supreme Court. And the idea was, I won, you know, I'm happy about that, but it should never have happened. And she was appalled at the idea that the race went on. It should have been canceled. And of course, I think New York has done the right thing. Bernie, get in line. And if his supporters really do, they're so upset by this very rational and it's the right thing to do. If they're so upset by that that they're going to vote for Trump over Biden, what could we possibly do that would make them do the right thing anyway?
Or not vote at all.
Can't believe it.
Yeah. One little piece of information just for context in this, which we didn't say, but I think probably most people know. But when he dropped out, Bernie Sanders said he wanted to remain on the ballot in the remainder of the states to give him some brokering
clout.
power when it when it came to working on the platform for the Democratic convention. Mike, how do you think about that clout? Do you really lose it if you don't have a New York primary?
Well, I kind of agree with Rosemary. The whole notion that he was not withdrawing from the campaign, but suspending his campaign, as he announced a few weeks ago, but he was going to stay on the ballot, I think there was a contradiction in that right there. What message are you sending to your supporters? Don't vote for Biden, vote for me, but I'm out of the race, and Biden's going to win the nomination. But, you know, I mean, it is. And just as Rosemary said, if his voters, if his supporters, Bernie Sanders' firm supporters, are so angry about this that they would not vote for Joe Biden and in that way contribute in the general election and contribute to the election of Donald Trump, I mean, what could possibly explain that? This was the right choice. Wisconsin proved having the primary when it was unnecessary was the wrong choice, and I leave it at that.
All of the news coverage that I have seen, JP, has been talking about how it has angered the decision by the State Board of Elections to cancel the primary has angered Sanders supporters. We haven't heard anything from Bernie himself on this, though, right?
We haven't, and that's a big indicator of where he's at. And I think it's strange that he would have his campaign manager, which, you know, there's no campaign anymore, so why there's a campaign manager, I don't know. But why he would have his campaign manager issue the statement and not him. I think, obviously, it was the right decision for the Board of Elections and for the state. You know, this is, everybody knows that Joe Biden is going to be the nominee. The one interesting wrinkle it poses in the state of New York is there are competitive down ballot primaries for Congress, for state Senate and assembly and other offices. And what I think a lot of Bernie supporters were thinking was that having Bernie on the ballot might help drive turnout to those competitive down ballot, races. And without him on the ticket, it may keep more people home and of course, hopefully will keep more people home with the current situation we're in.
Yeah, this goes back to what Rosemary was saying about of using the word selfish. In the statement that was made by Jeff Weaver, who is a senior advisor to Bernie Sanders and done on Sanders' letterhead, campaign letterhead. So he said, no one asked New York to cancel the election. The DNC did not request it. The Biden campaign didn't request it. And our campaign communicated that we wanted to remain on the ballot. Given that the primary is months away, the proper response must be to make the election safe, such as going to all vote by mail rather than to eliminating people's right to vote completely.
Joe?
Yes.
There's one other thing that needs to be said here that scares me a little bit. Many of our listeners and writers have said to us, we know that Trump is going to try to cancel the election or postpone the election. The problem here is that while I totally agree with what the Board of Elections is doing, because of keeping people safe and the rest, I am a little worried that Trump is going to use this as evidence of precedence, you know?
But it isn't contested, right? I mean, in the sense that it's different because it wouldn't be a contested election.
Well, right. We know that Trump is going to get the nomination, and we know that Biden's going to get the nomination. But as Mike, I guess, just pointed, or JP just pointed out, there are other contested down ballot races.
Right.
Now, I'm not arguing. I think the right decision was made here. I really do, because I think people's lives are what are really important. But this president, as despicable as he can be, is going to say the same thing. You know that.
So my question was going to be, Rosemary, about this idea of the Sanders campaign pushing for vote by mail, which it seems to me, and I don't want to be overly editorial here, but it seems to me that it's going to be hard enough to get that up and running if it happens by November, much less by June.
Yeah, I don't have any problem at all with vote by mail, and I do think Trump is really trying to sabotage that. He would have a hard time, Trump would have a hard time ending all voting in the general election because he's saying, oh, let's open the schools, let's open the massage parlors. If they can open, certainly we can go vote. I don't know how he could argue that. But what he is saying is, oh, voting by mail, that's really full of corruption. It's a big problem, even though, of course, there's no evidence of this. So that, to me, is where everyone should be working, including Bernie Sanders. So that campaign is not wrong to be going after that as a goal. But I just don't see how it could happen by June. And why? Jake, why do we need it? Why go to the expense? The state is facing, what's the deficit now, $13 billion, JP? So why should we be paying for an election that's completely unneeded? I grant you the downstate races, but I still would put life above and healthcare risks above making sure those elections are run in the most efficient way possible.
And JP, remind me if I'm wrong, or Mike, but JP, I'm sure you've had articles about this in the fabulous Empire Report. But didn't Cuomo say? I think he said it to me on one of our conversations. What they were doing was mailing out to every voter an absentee ballot application. All you have to do is put it back in the envelope and send it back. Everybody's entitled to vote absentee if they want to.
That is correct. Yeah. And I think one of the reasons why Trump doesn't want mail-in is it makes it easier for more turnout. Trump thinks that he benefits from a low turnout election. And I think if you look at studies of who takes the virus more seriously between Republicans and Democrats, Republicans tend to take the situation a little less seriously and might be more likely to actually go out to the polling places than Democrats. So I think that Trump views this as an in-person vote benefits him, and a mail-in where there's higher turnout does not benefit him.
And the Republicans generally don't love higher turnouts. Every time there's been an extension of the franchise question in New York State, when the Republican Senate was in
hey,
control.
Alan,
yes,
we have to take
a break.
We have to take a break. The good news is we just made $6,000. So keep going. We'll be right back. Bill Frisell providing our music this morning. Online, you can find the playlist, wamc.org/roundtable, and all the information is there. So just as we were going to break, I was giving an update as far as where we were. We started when we started this morning, we were at 215,000. We're now at 221,688. So that's almost over $6,000. We need you however you can help, but the way you can help is to go online, wamc.org, and you will see it right there, very easily to do, to press pledge now, and or you can mail it to us. Please don't call because there's nobody here. So it's wamc.org or 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206, and again, the address is online as well. But pretty good, Alan, huh? All right, Alan is gone.
I think it's pretty good, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you, JP. I appreciate it. That's very nice of you. That's very, very nice of you. maybe Alan went back for a second count, sort of checking it out. Maybe he's fielding calls. I don't know. Who knows? I keep thinking he's going to come back, but I guess he's not. But we're connected, right? We have a connection. Okay. All right. Are you back, Alan?
Sorry about that.
No, okay. All right.
Sorry. What happened is the doorbell rang. It was a priority message from our wonderful Amber Sickles, who had sent me a bunch of stuff that has to be signed and brought back to Albany. So I'm so sorry. I do apologize.
That's all right. That's all right. I was just saying, so while all of that was happening, we started at 215, and we're now at 221 7,713.
That is fantastic. Now, look, there are some people out there who can do just a little bit more. We know that, and we've seen it before. Some people, you know, we used to have a wonderful board member. She's passed now, Judy Grunberg. In the old days, she would give us either $5,000 or $10,000 in a drive. It was a lot of money, and we loved her, of course, without any mention of money or anything else, but she always wanted to do it. Now we are finding that more people are taking the clue in her memory and in every other way and saying, okay, we can do a little bit more. And that would be immensely helpful right now if somebody could come forward and do that little extra and say, okay, here's $1,000 or here's $5,000 or $10,000, because there are some people who have that and we love them for it and we appreciate it. And we also love all the people who give us $5, whatever it is. But the thing that always has disturbed me the most, I'm so sorry for going on like this, but the one thing that has disturbed me the most is when people say, let somebody else do it. Because when that happens, Donald Trump becomes the president, other things happen. So, look, everybody, you know what you have to do. WAMC.org. It's your station. You made it. You keep it. Let's keep it going.
All right, here we go. We have letters. I want to get to as many as we can here before we have to take a break in a few moments. Let's see. Sally says, I'm a Sanders supporter who will certainly vote for Joe Biden. However, I am not happy at the cancellation of the primary. I'd like as many Bernie delegates as possible at the convention. This will help to ensure that progressive policy will be adopted by the Democratic Party. Regarding the risk to voters, the Board of Elections should open absentee voting to everyone. This process is as simple as downloading a form that already exists, filling it out, and mailing it in.
And in fact, Joe, I think what I said before is correct. I don't know if JP or Mike is on top of it, but I think the governor said to me that what was going to happen is everybody was going to get in the mail an application for, and now I may be wrong.
Well,
here,
no, people are asking that. People are asking that in the letters, but they're saying, I don't get it, says Deborah. Didn't Governor Cuomo announce, as you mentioned, Alan, that registered voters will get an application bail?
Right.
So, but if you're going to cancel the primary, then why are you sending out the forms?
Oh, no, this would be an application for the general.
Yeah, because this is saying, this letter writer is saying that they did it for the primary. If this is still true, if so, why did the Democrats think it was necessary to cancel the presidential primary? Aren't presidential and local candidates on the same ballot? And that is from Deborah. Not surprisingly, we have a lot of mail on this. So let me go on. Tracy says, vote by mail may be a good way to fund the USPS. I sure thought it was a good idea to send voters the application for absentee ballots. Let's see. Don says, Democratic establishment terrified that Bernie would beat dud candidate Biden in the New York primary. Did anyone see that one happening?
Over to Rosemary. No. Over to Rosemary.
Ridiculous. Dream on.
It might have been a race earlier before Bernie dropped out and said, okay, I'm for Biden. This doesn't have the marks of somebody who's for Biden. It has a sort of rear guard, sour grapes taste to it.
So if you endorse, if you're the candidate, if you're Bernie Sanders, you endorse. I guess I don't get this. So what does Bernie want you to do? Does he want you to vote for him in the New York primary, even though he has already endorsed the other candidate?
I think that's the issue. Yes, he's on the ballot. He stayed on the ballot. His people are saying, and I think there's some merit to it. If we have more delegates, then we can make a big difference at the convention itself and argue for things like, you know, Medicare for All they're pushing.
Mike, I'm going to come to you.
I was just going to say. Oh, okay, go ahead.
No, I just Mike, or before I go to Mike, Alan, will you look for an email from Amber, and there's some comments that I'm hoping you can read.
You
do that, and I'll talk to Mike, and we'll meet back in a few moments. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. No, all I was going to say about Bernie endorsing Biden and then turning around and wanting to keep his name on the ballot. If he truly was trying to keep
and grow the number of delegates that were going to the Democratic National Convention to have more influence, he should not have endorsed Biden. He should have stayed in the race. He didn't do that. You can't have it both ways. If you pull out and endorse the other candidate, you should pull out. And what he's trying to do is a contradiction. It sends mixed messages to everybody. And, you know, I think it's confusing, and it has – it suggests that maybe he's got an ego problem.
I agree with you, Mike. I also think that it's a...
And speaking, by the way, of ego problems, I was wrong, and I'm going to apologize for thinking something. I didn't say it on the air, but thinking something. I said, you know, this guy Trump, he wants to win again. He realizes his numbers are going down every time he puts his puss on the, you know, up on the podium. He'll stay away now. Boy, was I wrong. And everybody laughed at me, and they all said, nah, he's incapable of doing that. He's going to have to go back on the thing, even if it's going to cost him votes. And they were right, and I was wrong.
It lasted two whole days.
It was unbelievable.
Mike, go ahead.
No. I, as far as the president back on the podium, you didn't think that was going to last very long. And in fact, it's probably the best thing that ever happened to Joe Biden's campaign, because every time he gets up there, he seems to put his foot in his mouth and undermine his own what little credibility he has left. And then when he does something or announces something that even makes sense, like this program to increase testing and do tracking, I mean, that ordinarily would make sense and you would want that. But now Trump, I mean, that comes 2 days after he was talking about injecting, solvents into your body to kill the germs. I mean, he has so little credibility now that it's almost dangerous for him to propose something that's a good idea because people won't follow it.
Right.
And the credibility of his medical experts is also continuing to decline. Dr. Birch was awful this weekend when she blamed the press for obsessing about lung bleaching when there was important things to talk about, like testing. The media's been talking about testing for months now. And Fauci is, although Brad Pitt played him on Saturday Night Live, which helped him, a new study by a professor and a student at New York Law University, talks about how he participated in a five-day actual cover-up of what was known by the Trump administration back in February and early March about the coronavirus. Fauci was part of it. He stood next to Trump while Trump said, no, we got it licked. It's contained. He stood by Pence when Pence said, we've got it totally under containment. We're okay. They're part of it. And I think that they should be called out as well.
Did he do anything nefarious, or was it just supporting his boss?
He endorsed it. He stood by while other members of the administration got into trouble for it, said, hey, we've got a problem. The American public is about to be – their lives are going to be disturbed. They need to be warned. That doctor was pushed out of the way. Fauci stood by Trump as he said, no, that's crazy. We've got this under containment. You're going to see the numbers go down to zero. He was right there.
Well,
that's,
you know, bad. I'm a big Fauci fan.
I know, maybe we should reconsider that.
Well, thank you for saying so. But I'm a big Fauci fan, and I truly believe he's got himself into an impossible situation, and so does Brix. Now, she has obviously decided, instead of being courageous, instead of saying no, when he looked at her the other day, remember that pathetic sort of look, and he was looking at her for, you know, sustenance, for her to say, yes, you know, you're right about this. And she wasn't going to do that. This was the disinfectant in the sunlight time. She wasn't going to do it, but she didn't tell him off. Now, nope. I think Fauci has been basically eliminated because everybody makes mistakes. Everybody can be seen one way or the other. He thought he could hold on by not contradicting the president. But, of course, more and more he's been doing that. And now I believe he's going to pay the price. I'm a huge fan for Fauci.
We have letters, which we'll get to as soon as we come back from the break. Alan, did you find the comments?
I did.
All right. You read those, and we'll go into break. Go ahead.
Can I do it now?
Yes, please.
Yes, okay. Okay, so One person wrote and said, "Donation. Their donation is a courtesy of the government stimulus check."
There you go.
And then we said, another person writes, "We love you all, Alan, and your dedicated staff. We need you now more than ever." And some things make me reach for my Kleenexes, and I'm not kidding. Somebody else says, "Long-time listener, first-time donor. This is the best radio station on the airwaves." Long-time listener, first-time donor. Does it get any better than that? "In the past 60 months," somebody else says, "I've lost a family household member to cancer, and thus almost 40% of my income, had major surgery followed by a diagnosis of bone marrow cancer, now being treated with chemo, and I'm caring for a second member of my household. I've lately been able to give only $25 per fund drive, but this time I'm sending $60. You're my link to sanity and my virtual constant companion, usually close to 19 hours per day. Thanks to all of you at WAMC and all the members who always, in capital letters, come through for WAMC. I'm proud to be an original member since 1979 and a listener since 1969 when I was a faculty member at Hoosac School. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't take that seriously, then nothing's getting to anybody. That's all I'm going to read for now because I know you have to get a break.
Okay, we'll go to a break. We'll be back right after this. Don't forget, you can help us out. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. You can help the Lockbacks that way. Please don't call because we don't have anybody to answer the phones yet, but it's WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us. We have a great panel this morning. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, and Rosemary Armeo.
And Joe, thanks for the music. You know, I'm thinking of Pete all the time now, and there are signs on people's cars. What would Pete do? Boy.
Great stuff. Bill Frizzell doing the music this morning. We've got a lot of letters. Imagine you mentioned Bernie Sanders and we got a lot of letters. Who would have thought? And a lot about the cancellation of the primary. Okay, so we go to BA, who says mail ballots are still relevant as there are other state and federal primary races, at least in some districts. Janos says, "I haven't heard much at all from you guys regarding the matter of Tara Reid and the Biden sexual misconduct, which, I mean, in all fairness, we have talked about extensively on this program with this very panel." Janos is saying there is a double standard. Okay. Is there anyone
there
on
is,
this?
There is not a double standard. Me too. The whole idea is you have to take the woman seriously. She has been taken extremely seriously. The press has invested hugely in her, including the New York Times, which has put tons of resources in. The conclusion was inconclusive. They don't know. And if you read the story, you'll find they cannot give you the answer. They cannot say, yes, she's right, or no, she's wrong. It's not a court of law. It's the newspaper. I don't know how to take it more seriously than that. You have to look at the evidence and make your decision.
And thanks, Rosemary. And we sure know an awful lot about Donald Trump. You know, the idea that the Trump people are coming out of from the rocks and saying, we're not taking these accusations. But where were they when it was Trump? And still is Trump, who has all of these scandals surrounding him.
Mm-hmm.
I will also just a quick programming note that the governor is expected to be speaking, and he'll be in Syracuse today giving his briefing on the coronavirus and the response by the state of New York. So we will be going to that at 11:30 this morning or as soon as it becomes available. All right. Let's see. We also have this from Pat, who says, this is on Fauci, saying, yes, Fauci should have stood up and contradicted Trump in February. However, he chose the path he did, because if he had not, who would be the adult left in the room?
Right, indeed. Indeed.
Yeah, the adults in the room have done such a fantastic job over the last 3 years that we should try to get more in that position. Trump has really been controlled by them. Give me a break.
I think it's a fair point for Fauci to make, in that it's good to have him and Birx on the inside, because if not for them being on the inside, who would Trump replace him with? So it's not a perfect, they're totally absolved of all sins, but I see it as a rational move by them to do their best to play ball with Trump so that they can affect policy, on the inside of government. And while Trump's, delivery and message has been horrible, you see New Yorkers, even Republicans in New York, according to the Siena poll, trust Cuomo over Trump on the, on the response. In terms of policy, I think that Fauci and Birx have delivered a lot of things to the states and have pushed Trump to do a lot of the stuff. A lot of the stuff that you see Cuomo talking about every day in his press conferences regarding the federal response and how he thinks it's been helpful. And I think that's in great deal due to Fauci and Birx being on the inside and able to affect policy from the inside.
We do have another letter.
Can I respond a minute to that?
Yes, but can I just read another letter to help in your response?
Sure.
I mean, you could just add it, because Frederick wrote to us and said that basically what the last order was saying, you should be right in calling him out for what happened in February, but let us not forget what he has been doing and the strength that he has shown since that time.
Who, Trump?
No, Fauci.
Fauci.
Okay, so here's my thing on it. That's the old way of thinking, that we have somebody in here who swallows the humiliation that Trump heaps on them for the sake of getting some small things at least done. And that's what you're arguing Fauci has done. But
no,
however,
saving tens of thousands of lives, not small things, saving tens of thousands of lives. That's what it is. But go ahead.
Okay, all right. My point is that if you leave Trump on his own to point his own idiots in there, as he's done, he's revealed, for the ineffective leader he is, those briefings have done more to turn his base and people who should be his supporters against him than anything Fauci or Mattis or Rex Tillerson or any of the alleged adults in the room who are going to help did. He needs to be shown for the ineffective, bad leader that he is.
Well, on the other hand, Rosemary, there's another way of looking at it. I'm listening to you very carefully. I want you to know that. But the other way of looking at it is, whoever heard from Mattis or these other guys after they got canned?
Right.
They were
true.
in no position to do anything constructive, for the opposition. These folks, now, I have a difference of opinion between Birx and Fauci. I think Fauci has been more honest. I think Birx has been more concerned about staying on the inside, but I may be wrong about that.
All right. We actually have a letter on that, and if I can put my fingers on it. John says, Dr. Birx is an evangelical picked by Pence precisely because she'll toe the party line. She's totally on Trump's side. I don't know about that background, so I'm just reading the letter.
She went to Houghton College in Western New York, which is a Baptist college, but then she went into the military after that, and she's had pretty much a secular career in medicine and the military, et cetera. But she came from conservative, Protestant roots, and might be regarded as an evangelical by some. But see, I mean, I don't think you can say someone is pro-Trump automatically and erase it. I kind of agree with Alan that, Birx probably, just by what she said over the weekend, seems to be protecting her own position. But and maybe Fauci has been a little more honest in the presence of Trump. But I have to say, JP, I think you said it so perfectly. I mean, he by staying on the inside, they've been able to exercise influence. And by standing there and even using their facial expressions like she did on Friday.
Deer caught in the headlight. Deer caught in the headlight.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't think she is pro Trump. I think she's pro Pence, as is our horrible Surgeon General. They're Pence devotees, and perhaps we should be casting him as the adult in the room who has led the administration to do the right things that they have done.
We got this letter.
Okay, so you'll give Pence credit, but you won't give Fauci credit. Good.
No,
okay.
I don't give any of them credit, Mike, but you guys want to parse it between Fauci and Birx. I think they all suck, but maybe it's
come
Pence
on.
The one who brought them on.
All right, so Stu asked this letter and says, writes this letter, if you have an honest, smart, dedicated physician, namely Fauci, wouldn't you rather have him speaking to the American public, even if he has to moderate his comments regarding Trump, than lose him and have him replaced by yet another another ignorant, unqualified Trump crony.
The real question, Joe, is how much? In other words, it's a matter of degree. I happen to think Fauci is playing it extremely carefully. I think the president is furious at him, you know, hence the rumors of his departure and being dismissed and the rest of it. And his people are telling him, don't do that. So all of a sudden he disappears from the press conferences. He's not there anymore and all the rest. Right? I mean, now, Bricks, you know, honest to goodness, you know, when he was looking at her, that tableau should be preserved forever of him looking into her eyes, basically begging her to support him. And she didn't say no, and she didn't say yes. She just looked like the deer in the headlights.
I think that was effective. I mean, I think that to me demonstrated that she was in shock at such an outrageous and preposterous notion of injecting, disinfectants into your body and that it would kill you. And I think everybody read it that way. It was
I did not read it that way. I mean, her response to him when he asked the direct question was, no, I've not heard of it as a treatment. She didn't say, that's really dangerous. Don't drink it. It's not a possible treatment that I've ever heard of, and we're not looking at it here. She was not forceful, and in fact, it came to governors later. Their offices were telling people, please don't do this stupid thing.
And Mike, the word everybody knew. Let me tell you about the 40%. The 45 or 40%, no matter what he does, no matter what Trump does, they don't say 40%. They're there with him no matter what. And if she didn't, this was the time to say, profile and courage, Mr. President, I don't think that would work.
I don't know. She still looked like she had eaten bad fish.
Yeah,
I don't know.
She did.
Did anybody watch the press conference as it was happening and see this come about, or did you just see the replays? Because I watched it as it came about.
As did I.
It kept getting weirder and weirder and weirder. And in the heat of the moment, I can understand. Burks clearly had in my opinion, a reasonable reaction for such a bizarre thing to be said by a president in a presidential press conference. And it just, I think in the heat of the moment, it was hard for everybody to really calculate what he was suggesting and what he was saying. I thought as it happened, it got weirder and weirder.
I agree with you. And it took me a minute to realize what he was saying that it was like accurate, you know, like that. Oh, that is what he was saying. Cause I thought I had missed something, but no, but
yeah, that's a good point.
It's a very good point. Really good.
I will say, as I have said so many times, how did this happen to us? How did we get this guy?
How did we get to a point where the BBC had to lead with a news story that said, dear people of the world, don't drink bleach?
It's so surreal. Unbelievable that it's a bad nightmare. I keep pinching myself and say, no, this is not possible. This great country could not have elected this guy.
And even after the fact yesterday, he said, no, I'm not responsible for this. I don't think
I know.
That's even worse.
The waving off of that question. I thought he could at least take an opportunity to try to clear it up in some way. But it was anyway, we have to take a break. We're late. Reminder, we need help with the lockbox. I can give you a figure here, Alan. It is we're up to $226. So $11,000. Not bad. But we can go a lot further. $226,638,000. $226,638. That's what we've got in the lockbox right now, which seems very good. Alan, are you there? I didn't think so. Okay. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Rosemary Armeo, JP Miller, Mike Spain, Alan Chartok, and
Alan Chartok has an apology to make to the 9 people who wrote.
It's about?
He's, Alan, I love you. Please get her name right. It's Burks, not
Bricks.
And so to the 9 people who wrote And to all of those people out there who listen to every word on WAMC, we love you and we appreciate you. Thank you for that.
Now, the good news is those loving people also apparently are giving money. So we have made $12,033 in less than an hour. So that's great.
Well, yesterday we made $30,000 in this time. We can do that again if everybody decides, hey, this is my radio station. There's no two ways about it. Look, we all agree that people should give to charities at a time like this. This is a very important time. And we try to do a little here at our house. But I can only say that I know that you understand that this is not only deductible as a charity, but it is also a service, and it's a service we all love and honor and use. And so come on, everybody, let's do it. Let's do it now.
WAMC.org, taking pledges online today. And
has to be online.
Has to be online.
Nobody to answer the phones.
That's right. So please, Lewis Aluminum has been shut down. The operators are not standing by right now.
They are not standing by.
So
what's that word? It's WAMC.org.
That's correct.
WAMC.org.
Now, Alan, if you go to your, before I move on to the many letters that we have about Bernie Sanders in the primary, we do have more donor comments if you'd like to read those.
I will read them. I will put Amber into my device. Do you see? Amber is okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, here's another one.
There you go.
I've meant to sign up as a sustainer for many years. Realized this morning WAMC sustains me, capital me. How would I feel if the station disappeared or had to cut back programming? Hey, Joe, explain what a sustainer is.
So a sustainer is somebody who comes in and says that it will be something that you do over a period of time so that we re-up you. If you think of it as a magazine subscription where you have your credit card on file and every year they will re-up you, that sustains us. So that is how to become a sustaining member. It's very easy. It just gives us, we can budget it and know exactly how much we're going to get at any given time. So it's a really easy way to give to the station and continue giving to the station.
And another comment that Amber sent to me, increasing my monthly pledge. Thanks for all you do. That's really nice. And then we heard from somebody else who said, thank you for being a light in these dark, frightening times. And then another one, we are incredibly lucky to have you, a lifeline of sanity and truth, and we need you now more than ever. Perfect. I mean, I love that.
All right. WAMC.org. That's how you can give to WAMC. WAMC.org. Okay. We have letters. Let's go. Rebecca says, Rosemary is wrong. Without Fauci, we would not have his calm response to this pandemic, which I believe made, quote, stay at home more palatable to our population.
Yes, you know, would. He'd be working for Cuomo, and you'd have his voice added on to Cuomo. It'd be very powerful.
You know, Fauci is 79 years old. That's older. It's older than me, in fact, which is almost impossible. And I can only say that he's doing God's work. Now, I believe that anybody who ever does anything, you, Rosemary, me, anybody who does anything is going to be subjected to the worst kind of tripe from people and writing and saying terrible things. Here's Cuomo with a 78% approval rating in the United States. That's unheard of. And yet I get a letter this morning taking my skin off for a column I wrote complimenting him and saying, you know, he's a murderer, he's a this, he's a that. You know, there are some very troubled people in this world.
Yes.
And you know, and by the way, in case anybody mistakes this, I didn't mean you, Rosemary. You in fact have a very honorable intellectual position in all of this on Fauci. If you stay in, right? If you stay in, you are basically helping Trump. You're legitimizing Trump.
Exactly.
And if you get out, you have an opportunity to say this guy's a fraud and a phony. So you know, six of one and half a dozen of another.
You said it better than I did. Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
All right. We have a lot of letters about, we were talking about the the primary being canceled. Jerry says the Democratic establishment has made a grievous error in selecting Biden as the candidate. It is a Hillary reload. Bernie was ahead of Trump in all the polls on the eve of the South Carolina primary when they turned against him in favor of Republican White Biden. I am terrified of what November will bring.
I refer you to Rosemary. Rosemary, take it.
Okay, here my response on that is you may well be right. However, Bernie clearly was rejected. It was not going to be Bernie. He lost to Hillary, and he lost to Biden. So I agree with you. I don't think Biden is the best candidate the Democrats could have put forward, but he is the candidate they put forward, and the choice is between Biden and Trump. Bernie is out. Goodbye.
All right. Bernie, selfish? Question mark?
Yes.
I think not.
Yes.
Okay. Athena says, I think not. I think what Bernie and his supporters want is for his issues to be recognized and instituted in the Democratic platform. I supported Bernie in the last election and voted for Hillary, and I supported Bernie's issues in this election, but was happy that he dropped out, and I will vote for Biden, especially if Biden pays more attention to Bernie's issues. One way to impress on the Democratic Party the depth of support of those issues is by giving the issue some electoral votes through the primary system for the Democratic convention, assuming we have one. Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? Once we defeat Trump, the hard work really begins.
I think those issues would be getting a lot of play right now if Bernie was the nominee. Unfortunately, he's lost the primary twice, and the way to get those issues is not to try to get delegates at the convention and try to apply pressure to Biden. It's to actually win the election, and then those issues would be, you know, would be adopted into the platform. If I was Joe Biden and trying to win an election in places like Ohio and Michigan and Florida and Pennsylvania, I would be adopting more moderate issues than Bernie's.
Well, you know, there are some indications, JP, that I was talking to your cousin PJ about that, that Biden is, in fact, willing to compromise with Bernie and is saying many of the things that Bernie wants him to do and say. So I don't think Biden's a dope. I think he knows he needs to have a unified Democratic Party. And there are some things he can absolutely go along with, which is an expanded health care program, for example, or college loans, for example. Those are things which he's already talking about, which were basic to Bernie.
We have some more letters on this subject, and this one from Roger, who says, I think it's a mistake to eliminate the New York Democratic primary. There's ample time and ability to vote by mail this year. Democrats were critical of the GOP for eliminating primaries in various states. It's hypocritical for Democrats to do the same. Voting this year is all the more important.
It's a fair criticism.
Peter says,
you know,
go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, a couple of people have pointed out that you could easily or make it sound like it's a fairly easy thing to make the June primary a vote by mail only. But the problem is that getting all that up and running is difficult and is costly. I don't mean just in dollars, but just in manpower, which are issues right now with the coronavirus epidemic that's going on. And the other aspect of that is if you say just download a form and send it in, I don't know. I mean, that's great for some people, but you have to have a very secure system that would track what you've downloaded. It's like, you know, going on a website and establishing a very unique user with all kinds of levels of security so that it would be sound. And then when you do that, it does disenfranchise a lot of people. We've learned from children who don't even have access to the internet that a lot of families don't have access like that, and they don't have the ability to just print out or vote. You know, until that system, that ironclad system, is set up and tested, you know, it sounds like a great idea. Just go online and vote. Boom.
Right.
It has to be done the way – I don't know if anybody used the IRS website to go in and track their stimulus check. But, I mean, they make it go through hoops to set up a user. And even that has been criticized for not being secure enough. And it's not an easy, trite matter to just download a form, send it in, and vote. I mean, it's not that easy.
To say nothing of the Russians. To say nothing of the Russians.
I agree with you, Mike. I even think that what we have now happening which is we're all going to be mailed an absentee ballot application, which means that we all have to get the application in the mail, look at it, open it up, fill it out, send it back in the mail. Then we will all receive absentee ballots. It'll be interesting, I think, for all of us to see what is the turnout, how many New Yorkers actually apply for an absentee ballot, and how many just, you know, look at this, oh, from you know, this is from the Board of Elections, I'm tossing it in the trash. It'll be interesting to see what the turnout is in terms of absentee ballots.
The other thing too, to Mike, what Mike was saying, I mean, I don't probably don't need to add to the litany of excuses, but you know, it's one thing to talk about doing this upstate, but can you imagine of the Board of Elections in downstate where they're just decimated and can't even go to work? I mean, I don't see it happening. Of any way that that could work out, especially by June, which is only a few weeks away.
And then they get all the ballots, and then they and then they get tens of thousands of ballots. They have a pile of them. How do they count them all? They're going to have 1,000 times more ballots than they've ever had before.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Okay, let's keep going on the letters here. We go to just a reminder that we'll be taking the governor. Governor Andrew Cuomo will be speaking from Syracuse. He'll be in Syracuse today, and we'll be giving the update on the state's coronavirus how they're doing in combating coronavirus, and we'll get that update coming at 11:30 this morning. Let's see. Peter says, Bernie and his supporters seriously have a point. It's too early to cancel the primary. At the very least, a date towards the end of August or early September would do no harm and only help Biden. What harm would it do to wait? We can always cancel if necessary closer to a rescheduled date. Well, you start getting into the actual August and September, you get into whatever kind of convention you're going to have.
Joe, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's so important. Can you give us an update on the money? Is the money coming in?
We're at $229,323.
Okay, so how much have we done today? Do we know
okay,
yet?
I can tell you that. If anybody wants to hum for a moment while I do this, yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Count your fingers
much.
And toes.
This little traveling music would be great. $13,548.
Okay, we really got to go now. Now, this really means everybody has to, otherwise we're not going to make it. We have to be making that $30,000 a day, folks. And that leaves us a lot of money to go. It's about $17,000. That's 170 people. If you can be one of those 170 people, I'm saying thank you. I am saying thank you to you. Please just go to WAMC.org and let us hear from you. It is so important. We're running out of time here. We really need your help. You know, let's just do it at WAMC.org, please.
All right. Leslie writes to us and says, Bernie supporters claim to care so much about health care, but don't mind endangering lives of New Yorkers for an unnecessary election. Hypocritical much, says Leslie. Dylan says, I'm sorry, but Trump is not that dumb. In my opinion, he was manipulating Dr. Birx and making her squirm intentionally. Perhaps she told him earlier in private not to mention quack cures. He found a way at the press conference to try to turn her in public. You're either with him or against him. I think Dylan has
That's
a point.
True.
Yeah,
because
they said he had brought it up during the meeting prior.
And why do you think he was sitting there? Well, she was sitting there. He doesn't put anybody front and center like that. Fauci wasn't there. She was supposed to be the apologist for him. And when he looked into her eyes, the deer looked into, you know, standing there with the head in the headlights, she was expected to produce. Now, you can honor her for not saying what he wanted her to, but I have a feeling he felt somewhat disappointed.
We go to, this is something we actually just talked about. Jill said, convention? What convention? There aren't going to be any conventions, not physical ones anyway. And I don't see how it would be at all possible to have virtual online conventions. Mosquitoes and the virus. We are still in weather that is winter. With all the countries that have had the virus before us, is there any evidence? And then the letter just stopped, so I don't know what the point was.
I did hear somebody speak to that, and the nature of mosquito-borne illnesses is quite a bit different than a virus like the flu. And the flu traditionally hasn't been transmitted, and this is more like a flu. And that doctor did speak to that. And I'm trying to remember exactly who it was that said it, but you know, that's perhaps one fear we don't have to have. There's plenty of other things to keep us awake at night.
God, yes. Jim says, I have the perfect press response to the news briefings Trump has. When it's time to ask questions, the press just looks around the room at the ceiling and at their watches, ask no questions, and after 30 seconds, shrug their shoulders and get up and leave. Imagine Trump. Wait, where are you going? Come back. I'll ask the questions and answer them, too. You can't leave. I'm not done yet. It would be so great, said Jim.
Yeah, ain't gonna happen. News people are competitors. Somebody else stays in the room. They've got all the story there. You know, I mean, I get it, and I know exactly what the letters writer is saying, but that's not going to happen.
Sean says, I'm just curious what the panel thinks. If these openings don't spur a major outbreak, Trump will be shown to be right on many of his opinions. I think he will be elected by a landslide because the Dems have no plan, just closure to beat him in the fall.
Well, that's very interesting. If the openings that are gradually going on across the country are don't result in a huge outbreak or surge in cases, people will say, see, these weren't even necessary. But in fact, epidemiologists and others will tell you that had we not shut down travel all around the country and had people staying at home, this thing would have spread like wildfire the way it did through New York City and other places, hot spots like Chicago, because people were not changing their behavior. I mean, it was mitigated by this, and to roll it out gradually is exactly the right thing to do. And, you know, I mean, there always people will look back at this and say, see, Trump was right and so-and-so was wrong. But the fact that we haven't had a nationwide outbreak the way we have in the New York City area is testament to the fact that we did react and we did shut things down and people did hunker down and stay home. And you got to look at that as a positive thing. So people will interpret anything to their own point of view, but I think it'd be ridiculous to suggest otherwise.
But I agree with you.
Go ahead. Sorry.
JP?
Please.
I agree with you, Mike, and I also think that whether we're shut down or whether everything's open in November, Trump is going to be looking at a 10 or a 15 or a 20% unemployment rate. And you look at the economy, you know, James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. I think that he's in trouble no matter what happens with opening or reopening. We're just in plain terms of a high unemployment rate. And are you better off than you were 4 years ago? It's going to be very few people in a very few key swing states need to change their mind and say we're going with Biden for him to go down.
Rosemary.
Well, aside from Trump, I mean, there are governors and whose actions ought to be scrutinized by voters. In Texas and in Georgia, the action of those governors to reopen the economy, to put kids at risk, you know, in schools, without even basing their actions on recommendations from the Trump administration, that just seems so crazy to me. And of course, the early results are that people are not turning out. They are afraid. They have not been well served by their leaders. And
but,
I hope that they will vote to reflect that.
But, you know, of one thing there is no doubt, and that is that there is going to be, if things get better, Trump will claim the credit for it, right? We all agree on that. We know he will.
Sure.
In fact, he was almost, even when it's going badly, he'd claims the credit for having made it better. So the real question is, how many people will, believe him? That's the question.
Well, I go back to what JP said. I think it's going to be the economy. I mean, I'm assuming we kind of get through the stages of this pandemic and people are beginning to, you know, have the freedom to do whatever they want again by November. I think that it's going to be who has the best chance to restart the economy and make it effective. And that'll be where Trump comes across and talks about what it was before the pandemic. And that'll be effective with a certain number of people. And it's up to Biden and the Democrats to come up with an alternative plan that convinces people that's the better bet as far as getting the country back on track. And I think, you know, that is going to be a big part of it. And because of that, it's, the election could be up in the air.
Joe, may I read one? Can I read one letter from Eve, who writes, to question, to what extent are members of the Electoral College in Trump's pocket? Thank you. You have to understand what the Electoral College is all about, ladies and gentlemen. You vote for electors who compete with each other. The Democrats have a full slate of electors. The Republicans have a full slate of electors. And you are voting not for president, but for the electors who will vote for president. How many of the electors who are, for example, elected by the Republican Party, how many of them will say, I can't stand this guy, I'm not going to vote for him? Now, some states have laws that you have to, but let's assume that you don't. I think you have to all understand that the electors are pledged to the person who they are running for. Is there any question about that?
Okay. No, and that's the way it's traditionally been. But I think in New York, tell me, Alan, you're the political scientist in the room. No, in New York, you have a moral obligation to support. If you were a Trump delegate or you were a Biden delegate, you'd have a moral obligation and a firm obligation to support him. But if something happened after Election Day that made you lose confidence, you do have the legal right to not vote for him.
And
some
that
states
been,
require you to.
Yeah, that's been done before. Some people have said, I can't stand this guy, I'm not going to do it, here and there, even when the law requires them to. But
in Oregon, there are two states where the delegates are awarded by percentage, so you get electors to the convention, and a lot of people think that's the way it ought to be everywhere.
I'm one of them.
Rosemary, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
I'd forgotten it now. Let's move on.
Okay. We go to Tom. Let's see. Tom checks in and says, there is a standing sexual harassment accusation against Joe Biden, which may continue to gain in importance as an issue. New York State should not have canceled. I'll get through this, I promise. New York State should not have canceled the primary because, one, people may not want to vote for a candidate who is guilty of sexual harassment. Two, Joe Biden may not be a candidate for president come June.
Well,
I think Rosemary answered that really effectively. Ditto.
Okay. Michael says, canceling any election is anti-democratic. Want to bring up Wisconsin? Biden and DNC promoted that disaster. Why are you rewriting history? Asks Michael.
Whoops.
What?
Biden promoted Wisconsin voting?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, that was not
the
case.
I think that's
the Democratic
incorrect.
Governor wanted to shut it down. It was the Supreme Court. It's actually John Roberts I blame on that. His Supreme Court said, no, if you want to have an election, it's got to be in person. No Democrat was for that.
Okay, we have 50 seconds. It gives me time to remind you to help out the lockbox.
Please.
We'll give you some totals here when we get back. But you can do so online, wamc.org. You can also do it via mail, which is 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206.
We so need everybody. Come on, folks. It's Alan, and I'm asking you to keep this station alive. Keep it going. Keep the lights on.
We will continue our conversation with Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, and Rosemary Armeo after this short break. And we'll continue a reminder that the governor will be speaking at 11:30 this morning. All of that coming up after this.
Roselle.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us, Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, and Rosemary Armeo. And Alan, I think you have some new comments if you want to read those. Where does he keep going? All right, is he back?
Wouldn't you love to know?
Yeah, I really would. I really would. Okay. Well, we'll keep going then. how are you doing, JP? Everything all right?
Pretty good here.
Excellent.
Down in my basement.
Good, good. Good to hear. All right. The good news is $232,218 in the lockbox. So $232,000. And again, WAMC.org, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Let's see. Alan read that. Okay. So let's go to this idea of... I went grocery shopping yesterday, and the meat case is just completely decimated, and people were freaking out, and
I was one of them.
Yeah, and so America's are on the cusp of a meat shortage with the food chain breaking down, and it's weird. The coronavirus pandemic is pushing the food supply to its limits. Plant shutdowns are leaving Americans dangerously close to seeing meat shortages at grocery stores. Meanwhile, farmers are facing the likely culling of millions of animals, and mass burial graves could soon be dug across the heartland. John Tyson, chairman of Tyson Foods, says the food supply chain is breaking. That's the biggest U.S. meat company in the country, which, again, U.S., is saying that the food supply chain is breaking. Outbreaks are forcing the closure of some of the country's biggest slaughterhouses, where tons of thousands of animals are processed daily. As the plants shutter, producers are left with nowhere to sell their livestock. It's forcing farmers to make gut-wrenching decisions to dispose of their animals. The situation is so severe that the U.S. government is setting up a center to assist on depopulation and disposal methods. Rosemary, you were there, so you know.
When I heard Tyson, I said, okay, this is serious. And I charged up a credit card. I have a freezer full of meat right now. I think this is serious. And I'm not that great a cook. I mean, to do all creative things, I can't look at a chickpea after living 2 years in the Middle East. It has to be meat. And here's my real question, though, aside from that. Why do the animals have to be killed? They're not being depopulated or culled. They're being murdered and slaughtered. It's total food waste. Why can't the U.S. Agriculture Department buy this up as surplus and move the meat, distribute it to places where it's needed? And what kind of a farm system do we have? When there were family farms, can't these animals be kept for a month, which is what everyone is saying? You know, all the governors are saying we can go back to school, but we have to kill the animals now. Can't they be kept for a month and fed? I don't know about agriculture, but slaughtering them and pouring out milk seems incredibly wasteful and stupid.
Well, this is what the governor was saying yesterday in regards to the milk, at least, about that instead of disposing of it upstate, that it could be brought to shelters and pantries downstate and could still be used instead of getting rid of it.
I want to go to Mike, who is, you know, he's not nearly as old as I am, but he could clarify my remembrance on this, and that is that during the Second World War, the Brits, of course, had very little meat to eat. And while they were being bombed and hurt, there was no question about that. I think that their general health got better, the cardiac conditions got better, because they weren't eating meat. And as Rosemary says, maybe they were eating chickpeas. But whatever they were eating, it wasn't meat. And as a result of that, the amount of heart disease and other things went down during the most incredible time of stress ever. Mike, what do you remember that? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that referred to anecdotally. I don't know the data on it, but it won't hurt us not to eat as much meat. But the problem is, as much as everything makes sense, what you say, Rosemary, is that, you know, even though we might be better off not eating the meat, if the cattle are there, I read today that brewers are giving away their beer to, beer breweries that can't sell their beer. They're giving it away to distilleries, because distilleries can convert it to whiskey and store it. It's cheaper to give it away to the distilleries than it is to dispose of it. There's actually a fee to dispose of beer. I mean, if there's no method to get it to the market or get the animals to the slaughterhouse, and that's the issue here, the slaughterhouses have become hotbeds for coronavirus, and the employees, you know, are these people, a lot of them are undocumented immigrants, and they're working side by side, and they're passing the disease on. They don't have any health benefits. They don't have any sick time. So they come to work when they're ill, and it just creates a conundrum.
And these animals cost a lot of money to feed, so the farmers are doing a calculation, and they're taking a loss and euthanizing the animals and burying them. And I mean, it just seems absurd that all this food is going to waste and all these people are starving. And you look at San Antonio that has parking lots that look like, you know, giant Walmart parking lots full of people waiting for food baskets.
Exactly, which is why I'm saying, you know, I don't think farmers, especially family farmers, should have to take the expense of the extra food and all that. But that's where the government could come in. That's where the agriculture department should be coming in and moving this food. But depopulating, just killing them all and then burying them, oh, my God, it's the waste is just staggering.
You know, you learn something on WAMC every day. What did I just learn that I never knew? Of the many things I learn every day, that beer could be turned into spirits, the alcoholic spirits. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Whiskey made from beer.
No,
well, they call that a boiler maker.
Yeah, Joe, you know something about that, right?
I think I know everything about that, but I will say I'll tell you that when you go to the whiskey distilleries, they'll tell you that there's a part in the process with what they start with is there's a point where it is beer, and then the actual distilling is that, you know, what causes it to be a spirit. So it makes sense. It does make sense. I do hope you can forward me that article. However, Mike, we can maybe help them. As far as
how are we doing at WAMC.org, Joe?
Oh, yeah, I think you were away earlier, but we had $234,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So let me do some quick subtraction, which I'm so good at. and the answer would be that... yeah, so $18,000 is what we've made this morning.
We need another $12,000 to get even. We have to do that, everybody, and you can be part of that. That means 12 people giving us $1,000 or 24 or 500 or, you know, that's where my math stops, but you get it.
Okay.
Everybody do something.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org. All right. Sandy says, what about making ice cream, yogurt, cheese, or other milk products with that milk, with that extra milk? And I think, again, the governor did speak to that yesterday about those products. Rosemary says she's not a farmer, but her opinion is X. It's not that easy, Rosemary. A broiler chicken's lifespan on one of those farms is about 8 weeks. Holding onto it for an extra month is not practical economically and not healthy for the chicken itself. They have been bred for a very short life cycle. The amount of money you spend on keeping the chicken alive could probably be used better to feed more people, be used better elsewhere. To feed more people. This is the problem with our food system today. It's too centralized and cannot accommodate changes like this easily.
Easy for that person to say, but what about the chicken?
Yeah, I'm laughing at the idea that keeping him alive, feeding him, is not healthy for the chicken as opposed to killing it.
Animal.
Well, they're eventually going to kill it anyway. What's the difference, right?
Yeah.
And people will
kill
be
it and
healthier,
put it in the freezer.
Lisa says this is the industrial food chain and processes 100,000 hogs a day. For instance, these are not family farms. They are factory farms. Meat producers have put animals on diets to try to keep them smaller. When you expect to turn over 100,000 hogs a day, there is not enough space to house those animals.
Wow.
See,
there's the whole problem is we have a system that is set up that perhaps needs... like other systems that we've looked at in this crisis that need, there's no capacity for a quick change like this.
Victoria agrees with you and says feds need to buy food supplies and distribute with help of the National Guard. Let's not create a famine in the midst of plenty. Farmers can be paid and people fed. Thank you for your great program. Kurt says there is no extra money to pay for feed. If the meat packers aren't buying, there is no choice. P.S. Whiskey comes from malt, usually no hops, though. Thank you for that. Let's see. We go to Ann, who says, yes, Biden did say Wisconsin should vote. Afterwards, he said he hadn't said it. Look it up. All right. Barbara says the national popular vote compact has been adopted by a number of states, including Massachusetts and the District of Columbia. This means those states award all their electoral votes to whichever presidential candidate wins the popular vote. And I don't know exactly what that is referring to, but we can try. And let's see. Susan says, Rosemary, think about what you're saying. They're being murdered and slaughtered if they're not being eaten. They're being murdered and slaughtered to be eaten for you to consume them and stock your freezer with them.
It's utter waste. It's utter waste. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're a vegetarian, you may feel very differently about that. These are breathing, you know, things, animals. How would you like to have your, you know, neck cracked? You know what I mean?
Norm says, panel, it is not just the market demand. The meat processing industry has grown with only the bottom line efficiency in mind. The processing plants need redesign for worker safety. There needs to be focus on plant design. It is the nature of our greed, return on investments for shareholders that might work with widgets, but not the food chain. And Savannah says, vegan, exclamation part, go vegan, not... Ugh. Yeah, they are living creatures.
That's what I just said.
There you go. Okay. But to Rosemary's point, which I think is a valid point, is that for the animals that are in this condition, that are in a factory farm, I think we can certainly argue the merits of that system, which seems horrible. But if right. you are in the midst of it and it's there now, it does make sense to be able to feed people who do not have the food as opposed to just wasting those animals.
Correct.
Right? I mean, that,
that's
I mean, that
exactly
was
exactly right.
The yeah. argument that we're having. Okay. All right. We just have about a minute left. So let me just remind you that we have still, you please help out with the lockbox as much as you can. It's wamc.org, wamc.org. And we can't take phone calls, but we can take online contributions. And it's, we now have $234,587 in the lockbox. Yes.
And Joe, very quickly, we love WAMC. I remember listening to me and Mario and being so inspired by the authenticity of how you spoke about everything. Thanks for what you do bring to all our lives. And another one, hi, I'm a snowbird and happy to listen to WAMC every morning. I've got my son listening now too. Keep up the great work. And a third thing of note, as we realize this pandemic is wiping away many people and businesses we love, we must act to make sure WAMC survives and thrives. That's WAMC.org, folks. You heard it here.